Okay, before we jump into another episode of RHO D&D, we wanted to take a quick moment to shout out our amazing patrons over at patreon.com/housewivesofd&D. We're an entirely independently run show, and we quite literally couldn't do it without your support. So thank you for joining our Patreon and helping us continue to make new episodes of RHO D&D. If you haven't checked it out yet, head on over to patreon.com/housewivesofd&D for access to our player character sheets, DM notes and confessionals, video versions of our episodes, our full-length behind-the-scenes podcast released every other Monday on our off weeks, live events, merch drops, the chance to name an NPC, and so much more. Patreon.com/housewivesofd&D.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
RHO D&D is intended for mature listeners. Content warnings can be found in the episode notes, along with links to all of our maps, transcripts, and ancillary content.
I was like fully in love with someone for 3 weeks that I had never met, and then found out it was a robot. It was like AI.
Oh, no.
Kosha, this is our
rom-com. I would watch a whole film about that. Like, that's right. Yeah, like we need to write that immediately.
That was a movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's called Her.
Oh, that's
her.
True. Yeah.
And now yours is called Him.
You guys, I've been living Her and Lars and the Real Girl like way too real. Like I was like, I'm sad that like those two movies have become reality.
You have adult boyfriends?
Yeah. Wait, how is it? Lars, what about it is Lars?
Oh,
right,
I
now
refuse to go to any social situations
without
any
doll
of my friends who are married with, yeah, without like a giant blow up like boyfriend.
So very Lars and the Real Girl. Oh, I love Valen was like, what's the obscure connection to Lars and the Real Girl? And Kosha was just like, literally that storyline. Yeah. The plot
it's
from
the
movie.
Yeah. That or sometimes I have a fake one that I'll just bring up.
Do they make that dolls like that with men? Do they make the male version of blow-up dolls?
Because I feel like you can find anything on the internet.
The dong would be weird.
Agreed.
I don't know, man. There's some weird dongs out there.
I mean,
yeah, maybe that's accurate. You know?
I feel like it would collapse if you tried to. Anyway,
it should be a surprise. Like, you know that puppy surprise toy where you don't know like how many puppies it has.
Oh my god, puppy surprise!
But like,
it
you
could
get
be three
the,
or four or
you
five.
Get the boy sex doll, and then you don't know how weird its dong is. It's just like you have to get it and then,
like
unbox
that, actually.
It and find
I
out. It's more
like
accurate.
LOL unboxing.
Only women would like that.
No one would like that. It just feels more accurate to real life.
I would watch that YouTube
That's
show.
Real life. Unless you watch that British show where they reveal the people's feet. They like have a curtain that slowly goes up and they're naked and you see their feet, their legs, their junk, their body, and then their face.
We weren't designed to be seen in HD like that. I'm really anti. If God wanted us to have that kind of eyesight, he would have made us all lizards.
Yes.
I was not going to go with lizards. I was going to go with like eagles or something, you know?
Eagles. Yeah, you're right. Like vultures.
It comes back to vultures.
It always comes back to vultures.
It comes back.
Last week on RHO D&D, the housewives continued their separate journeys, with Anya, Dr. C, and Kiki taking the high road to Other City, and Cassandra and her new number two sister Pluvius taking the low road. But Cass wasn't the only housewife in her party for long. Thanks to some quick but actually pretty obvious thinking from Pluvius, Stone Dragon Cece has finally returned to human form. Cass, still a puddle of goo in a jar, caught Cece up and didn't waste any opportunities to badmouth Dr. C. Meanwhile, Cece made some intriguing references to what she'd experienced while she was a stone dragon. Not that anyone cared. Up on the high road, Anya and Kiki met a hag in a hole, and Dr. C's FOMO was so intense she flew down to join them. The hag removed their remaining anti-ring-ring rings, gave them a tarot reading, and shared visions of their loved ones left at home, some of whom seemed more broken up over the housewives' disappearance than others. Will Milch tell the housewives how to get back to Anaheim? What awaits Cass and Cece in the Low Road Tunnel? And will Bryn eat any of those marbles? Find out this week on RHO D&D.
Oh, too much.
Okay, so we left off with the housewives split into two groups. Anya, Dr. C, and Kiki have taken the high road and are currently getting a reading from Milch, aka the Hag in the Hole. And Cece and Cass, who is, of course, still a puddle of goo in a jar, are with Sister Pluvius on the low road. And you have just reached the, you can just see the entrance to a tunnel that leads into the side of a hill. And you just passed a sign that says, last chance to take the high road. And you have decided to continue towards the tunnel. So you make your way past that sign towards the entrance to this tunnel. And as you approach, the air around you darkens and misty fog starts to swirl around your ankles. And then you're hit by a breeze of cool, damp air coming from the tunnel entrance. And far, far in the distance, down in the tunnel, you can see what seems to be a pinprick of light at the other end. And can you both give me a perception roll?
Yep. 13.
11.
Okay, great. So this won't be too exciting for Cass because she's already seen one. But Cece, this is the first time that you're seeing an old faded sign tacked to the tunnel wall entrance that says, reward offered 5,000 gold pieces to anyone who can wake up a young girl in a cursed sleep. Location, upper thicket. Ask for Finlow. Cool. So you stand there and do you enter? What do you do?
I mean, yeah.
I think so.
Cool. All right. So you enter the murky dimness of the tunnel, and it is so dark inside that you can barely see a few feet in front of you, but your other senses come alive. The ground crunches beneath the horse's hooves as you go on, and a thick, musty, earthy scent fills your nostrils. And then you start to hear some eerie squeaks and clicks echoing all around you, and what sounds like many small creatures having trouble breathing nearby.
That's fucking horrifying.
Do I have any light?
Are they hand strabbits?
I think I have a spotlight. Can I use my spotlight?
Yeah.
Yes.
5 foot radius, concentration 1 minute. And I can create a glowing orb because I'm a child star.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
for sure.
You are.
Okay, I'd like to use that.
Yeah, I imagine that Cece enters that tunnel and at first, it feels so wrong to be there because you're better than this, you know, and this tunnel is gross. And so maybe from that child actor background, like this feeling inside of you just erupts and this glowing orb appears in your hands.
That's how my glowing orb works. It's just like, it's from my essence.
Yeah.
I believe it.
So it illuminates kind of 5 feet around you in every direction. And just at the tail end of where the light touches, you can see what look like maybe some little creatures moving, but you'd have to get a little closer to actually make out what they are.
They're waddling.
They're waddling.
Way less spooky, scary.
Penguins. Spooky penguins. This tunnel is full of spooky penguins.
Cece is not scared.
Okay, cool. So as you continue through the tunnel, that scent, that musty, earthy scent, grows stronger, and the sounds grow louder. And about 30 feet into the tunnel.
Wait, Pluv, what are we hearing?
Sister Pluvius doesn't know. She's never been this way before.
That's good, sis.
You don't know what those creatures are? These are creatures you've never seen before?
Well, she can't see them yet, so she doesn't know what they are. You're about to see them once we get through this narrative block. You'll see them.
Back off.
Yes, about 30 feet into the tunnel, you notice that there are dozens of dark, low lumps moving around on the ground. As you get closer, you realize that they look like large, bristly, flightless bats covered in dark, coarse fur the size of penguins.
Yes!
They're waddling around on the floor, their beady eyes blank, and they're squeaking and clicking at one another.
Mm. Oh my God.
Oh my God, I love
this. This is the best drawing yet.
They're so cute.
I could not be more thrilled.
You guys, wow. I don't know about these things. Okay.
So Cece's not concerned. She saw March of the Penguins.
She saw March of the Penguins.
So Cece, little did we know, Cece was almost the narrator. It was going to her and Morgan Freeman.
Is she constantly losing gigs to Morgan Freeman?
So she's not worried. She knows a fair amount about penguins.
What's up with these two hiding penguins?
They're underneath a plank.
Okay.
And what's the black stuff up here?
Well, you could investigate a little further if you'd like to.
So where are we? We're at like the top, like looking down into these penguins.
Yeah. Are we like riding through a sea of penguins? Are we like stopped by a crowd of penguins? What's...
You haven't entered into the crowd of, I mean, they're like, you know, bat-like penguins or penguin-like bats. But yeah, you have not entered into the crowd of them yet. So you're kind of, I guess, like on the far like left side of this tunnel.
And they're not bothered by the light.
They're not bothered by light, no.
Okay, cool.
Oh,
okay.
Great. Cool. Weird.
Careful.
You wait to see what they're bothered by.
I mean, this is a game we're playing here. I want to go see what's up with these penguins.
For sure.
I'm cool with going down into it.
Okay. So how close are we to the penguins now?
Like 30 feet.
Can I speak to them?
Yeah, I guess you can.
Great.
Pluv, hold me up.
I can't. Pluvius does.
Great.
Hey, Clarissas, and by Clarissas, I mean all of the bat penguins. Mm-hmm. Hello, my name is Cassandra Casternak. How's it going?
And they're like, what voice do they have? Oh my God.
What voice do they have?
What voice do they
have? What voice do they have?
They're like,
we're ground bats.
Very cool. I love a ground bat. What's the vibe in this tunnel? Tell me about it.
So they're all like, they were waddling, and when you started talking to them, they kind of stopped in their waddle. And now they're looking around and trying to source wherever they are hearing your voice from.
Oh, because I can tell they're a little bit confused. I think this gives Cass, like, there's like some sort of impulse inside of her that just like wants to get closer, but, you know, instead of like instructing Pluv to keep carrying her around, all of a sudden she manifests the most gorgeous, well-manicured, beautiful, stunning, fashion-forward mage hand you've ever seen in your life to just pick up her little jar and, like, float her down into the midst of the penguins.
Oh, my God. So, Cece, you see this for the first time. Like, yeah, this ornate hand just comes out of nowhere, grabs this jar of cast puddle, and is moving confidently towards the penguins. You did not hear anything that the ground bat said or what Cass had said to the ground bats.
It just sounded like clicks and squeaks to you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to like float into the midst of the, I'm probably like a similar size to them in the jar, right?
Yeah.
I think they're bigger than you.
You're like half, maybe you come up half. Yeah, you come up halfway.
So then, yeah, I think I'm going to float like slightly above them so they like have to look up to me a little bit.
Well, you're floating forward. I'm stepping back.
Smart.
Let me reiterate. I'm taking steps back.
Good, Cece. Good, Liz.
Hello, hello, good ground bats of this tunnel. It is I, Cassandra Casternak. I'm sorry if my appearance is confusing to you, but I just wanted to introduce myself and let you know that we mean no harm. We're just like passing through. And thanks so much.
Cass, can you roll a perception check?
Yes.
You're so fucked,
oh, well,
dude.
That's a... 7.
Okay, so it's hard, you know, like it's dark in there and Cece stepped back, so there's not a lot of light. But from what you can tell, it seems that, yeah, it seems that the ground bats can't really see you.
Oh, you're like invisible.
They keep bumping into each other.
Cece calls out, oh, I feel like you're invisible, Cass. They can't see you.
They can't see in the dark?
No, I think they can't. They're confused.
Wow, that's a sad, sad life they live. So they just bump into each other in the dark, dark tunnel their whole lives? They just like...
They're like bats.
They haven't adapted. That's unfortunate.
There's, you know...
How like life.
Kind of like those flying bugs.
Oh, wait. No, bats can see in the dark. What am I talking about?
You know, maybe they have something that stands in for vision.
Well, like echolocation. Are they not... Are the clicks not doing anything? All these clicks they're making? They're not attempting to look? Or what's the deal?
The bumping into each other is just a sign of respect.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Do I know that?
Oh. No.
Do I sense their respect? Okay, well, so I just think they're clumsy, but
do they say anything back to me? Or am I just talking into the abyss?
What did Cass just say to them? That she's...
Well, I introduced myself and I explained that we're not here to harm anybody and we're mm-hmm. just passing through. I also asked for like the vibe and like what's up with the ground bats and like how they're feeling today.
The ground bats kind of rustle around and waddle a little bit and say,
hungry.
Oh.
You're so fucked. Get hungry. Out of there.
What do you guys eat? Like, what's on the menu? What are you in the mood
like,
for?
What's on the menu?
Anything we can peck.
Anything we can peck.
Cece's like...
Like a silver goo?
Cece calls out to Cass, and she's like, get your wet ass back here.
Wait, you call out? You're calling out?
Oh, shit.
I stage whisper.
That should absolutely be a power that Cece has, by the way.
Yes,
yeah, it's like a really powerful stage whisper.
I love it. Let's just add it in now.
Okay, so she stage whispers to me.
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna. Okay, so they want something they can pack. Can I just give them some rations?
You could try.
Yeah, you could try.
I would like. Let's do it.
Yeah, your bag is back with Pluvius, but yeah, in theory.
Okay, so I'm gonna mage hand my way back over to the group. Okay, just float back over.
And be like, hey guys, they're just like hungry. So they said they wanted to peck on something. They're feeling a little peckish. So I was thinking we could just give them some food. What kind of food do we have on ourselves currently? I've got some mushrooms.
Well, Cece's concerned because her spotlight is probably about to be out. It's a limited mm-hmm. spotlight and then we'll be in pitch dark. So she turns to Good Sis and she says, Are you familiar with these creatures in any way, shape, or form? Have you ever seen them? Have you ever smelt anything like this?
Have you ever smelt anything?
Sister Pluvius nods. Now that she has seen what they are, she is starting to realize that they must be ground bats. Because ground bats are a bit of a... she tells you that...
They're kind of like a pest in the area. They tend to like move into places and they're really hard to get rid of.
Cass is also like, they're ground bats. They're ground bats. I had that information as well. I was aware. I know that, obviously.
Yes. So she tells you...
The ground bats are, they're like always hungry and they're not generally too vicious, but they'll eat anything. So like you need to be careful when you're dealing with them because if there's not something to eat nearby... they will just eat whatever's available. And sometimes they're better just to avoid.
Can Sister Pluvius give us an investigation check?
Yeah.
As she looks around the environment.
Ooh, 15.
Damn.
Nice.
Grace.
Okay, so she takes in the scene as she's like explaining this to you all. And she notices all the stone rocks that are kind of... popping out of the wall above the ground bats.
Ah.
And she takes that in and says,
perhaps we could climb along the wall to avoid them.
Cece loves this. She went rock climbing one time at a kid's gym for her niece's party. She's sold. She would love to rock climb.
Cass is like, wait, as they're like preparing to climb the wall. She's like, just quick question about our horses.
No, Sister Pluvius tells you that
if we leave the horses here, they will find their way back to the sisterhood. So they will be safe.
Love.
But we can't bring them with us because they'll get eaten?
We can walk, Cass. I thought you liked walking.
No, you guys were just talking about rock climbing, so...
Well, yeah, walk climbing. You're not, by the way, you don't even have to walk. You're being carried.
I know, I'm good. I'm just concerned about leaving our horses behind. Why I would like to bring our horses with us.
Well, you're in the water and you can't make choices, right?
Okay, fine.
So Cass would like to use her little liquid body to grab her rations out of her bag.
She can't pick anything up, but she can certainly tell Pluvius to do it.
I can't pick anything up.
No.
Your puddle.
I know, but I can't. All right.
Okay, Pluv. Hey, Pluv. Can you go into my bag, grab those rations, and then just like throw them way behind us?
Yeah, Sister Pluvius can do that.
Great. So then Cass is going to float down to the ground bats and be like, hey guys, I just got word on the street that like back there in the tunnel behind us is like a whole bunch of food. Just want to let you know. And then she's going to start floating in the direction of the food and going, this way, over here. Follow me this way.
Persuasion check.
Yes.
Oh, goodness.
12.
Okay, I'd say that about half of the ground bats follow after you.
Mm-hmm. They waddle over there.
Do they have to pass Cece and Sister Plouve and the horses on the way over there?
They sure do. Mm-hmm. Let's do a stealth check for everyone that the half of the ground bats are about to pass through to make sure that you don't make any noise as they go to the rations.
I'm so stressed out right now.
Me too. I'm like stressed to the max.
I'm so stressed.
It's going to be a DC 13.
Oh. Well, and Plouve also has her sneaky cloak on and her hood up.
Yes, and Pluvius also just rolled an 18, so she feels pretty good about this.
Ooh, a 19.
Nice.
Oh,
very nice.
That was very lucky, I will say.
Yeah. And when Cass is in puddle form, you're good, I think, on this.
So right. That takes care of half of that.
But what about the horses? They're on the ground. I'm so confused.
Well, we're still on the horse. I don't think anybody climbed the wall.
They're included.
Yeah, they're included in the overall stealth of it.
Okay.
All right. So they're currently safe, but, you know, now they're in the middle of two groups of ground bats. So there is that.
So back on the high road, I assume you guys are nearly out the door from the Hag of the Hole, or?
We were asking the fastest way to get home and where the churros were.
And we still don't know.
We heard about the churros.
Where the churros are. We don't know the fastest way.
We haven't heard about Upper Thicket.
Is she still being possessed, or is she out of it?
She's kind of coming out of it, and she says, she looks at all of you as she wipes the sweat from her brow and says, when it comes to getting home the quickest.
Had a vision of you sailing with water all around you, and in the distance a mirage of sand and heat.
You mean like in Aladdin?
And Dr. C says, oh my God, Christian is coming. Because you know his family has that yacht?
Oh, yes.
In Newport.
Kiki wants to say one last thing. Kiki wants to be like, if you were in our shoes, is there a question that you would want answered?
Mm. Ooh, Kiki, very insightful.
Good question.
I know, I've been reading.
Have you?
In my imagination.
You've been reading? Interesting. Okay.
So, as Kiki asks that question, she nods and she pulls Dr. Christina aside. Actually, no, she doesn't have to do that. She just holds up her phone like a telephone because she also has message.
Oh, yeah. She knows it too.
Okay.
You hear her voice in your head, Dr. Christina, as she says,
you know, it's very dangerous to tell people that you are the Vulture Queen. I wouldn't be doing that if I were you.
Dr. C goes,
thank you. But like, what kind of outfit should I wear on the yacht?
Get the fuck out of here.
And then she says to all of you out of Ring Ring,
before you go, Upper Thicket is a hopeful but sad place with lots of history. So treat the people there kindly.
So we can't bring Kiki there.
No. And
Kiki is like, Steve, this is how they confuse you. They tell you it's hopeful and then it's sad. And you're like, what does that mean?
I think it means we should go there. Milch, thank you so much for all of your kind words and your wisdom and...
Kiki's left.
So much good wisdom. I'm so sorry that I ever doubted you. Wait, where did Kiki go?
Milch nods as she backs up into the pile of blankets again and just kind of like puts them all over her.
I feel that deeply.
Yeah.
Okay, enjoy your nap.
Enjoy the ride.
Bryn, do you want to bring your marbles? Are we going to go now?
You're just stealing from people now, Bryn.
He nods and he like brushes them all into his hand and then he tucks them into the pocket of his trousers.
I thought you were gonna say, and he brushes them into his mouth.
And he just swallows. Trying to get him to eat marbles. Bryn is smarter than that.
One day he's gonna eat some marbles.
No. So you guys are packing up to leave. Anya, what do you do with your ring?
I'm gonna keep my ring and just put it in my bag, I suppose.
Cool.
Ditto.
Just for the future.
Okay. So Anya and Dr. C put their rings in their bags of holding.
So Anya grabs Bryn's hand and looks around the room one last time and goes, okay, I guess we go now. And then walks out.
Dr. C will walk out as well.
Okay, great. You've exited the Hag in the Holes.
Woo!
You know, little area.
Hole.
The hole. And so, yeah, you're back. You're back on the path and you're now, you know, as it slopes downward, you continue on your way. And the hill continues to slope gently downwards, and the path twists and turns through scattered trees and scrubby brush. And every now and then, as it meanders through a gap in the trees, you can see a far-off clump of what could be buildings. Perhaps it is a village.
And you can do some foraging if you want. You can, you know, explore the area a little bit, or you can just keep on your way. Let's investigate.
Kiki wants to keep going. Kiki's not investigating.
Oh, damn. Okay. So Kiki's on Brock, and I'm assuming Anya's on Butter. And yes. Dr. C, are you walking, or you're with Christian?
I'm back on Christian.
Okay, cool.
If Christian's up for it. If not, I completely understand.
That's
and I
so
can
thoughtful
walk.
Of you.
What did you heathens do with Cordelia? You just let her go?
Cordelia ran off when Dr. C fell off of her. So,
yeah,
she's somewhere out there. Sing it.
Somewhere.
Thank you. Can I do a little investigation of the four? Foraging items, perhaps?
Sure.
Absolutely.
All right. That's a 3.
Ooh, you're going to get so much stuff.
You could use primal knowledge also to see what's in the area.
Yeah, I've never used it before. Let's do it.
Can Dr. C investigate from like the top down this village? Like a little drone footage?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of far away, so you'd have to like get closer. But you can. You don't have to stay with Anya.
Yeah, you can tell Christian to keep going forth.
I'm going to tell Christian to keep going forward because I want to see what's up there. Yeah. And also Kiki's on the move.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense to me. So he's doing that. You guys are still up on the mountain, but flying pretty quickly down.
Okay. So in primal knowledge, you tap into the primal nature of wisdom of the ancestors and gain some of the knowledge in the area surrounding you. In the outdoors, the ancestors can share knowledge of the land within 3 miles in caves and other natural underground settings. The radius is limited to 300 feet. The spell doesn't function where nature has been replaced by construction, such as in dungeons and towns. I can ask the ancestors one yes or no question of my choice about nature.
Yeah, what's your... Do you have a question?
Yes. Is there anything here that I must take with me?
Who is she asking that to?
My ancestors.
Ancestors.
Does she say it out loud, though? That's
yes,
the question.
I do.
Oh, yeah.
And previously, we've had a call, like a specific call sound that goes out when you're trying to contact the ancestors. I just wanted to remind us in case we wanted to hear that call.
We do
want
to hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. And this time it's...
Oh, that's the primal knowledge sound?
See, and that's the one that works. Great. You know, you've been trying really great. Beautiful calls, and all this time it was that.
Oh, it's so primal.
Very primal.
Is there anything I need to take with me? I must take with
me? Yeah. You see in your mind's eye this picture of this mushroom, but it has like a honey-like substance dripping from it.
Ooh.
Don't
eat it.
Do I see that in my immediate vicinity?
You can look around and you can roll like a basically like a foraging roll. And if you get a 12 or above, you're successful.
Okay. That's a 3.
Oh, man.
Classic Nicole roll.
Thank you.
You'll just keep an eye out. Okay, so you don't see any of those honey mushrooms, but you do see some wild leeks.
We love a leek. Yeah, I'm going to grab those.
Great.
Great.
And you do that.
Thank you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
So now let's make a journey back to the low road to catch up with our friends.
So this is a skill challenge. It takes 3 successes to pass, 3 fails to lose. We're going to call that the first pass that just happened. And to get over to where that beam is, you'll need to get another 2 successes with any actions on your way there. So whether you're climbing rocks or like going through stealthily.
Okay, but we're not an initiative. This is just a test.
Yeah, this is just a test. Okay.
For now.
We'll see how the rolls go.
Oh, God.
If there's three failures, then we'll roll for initiative.
Yikes.
Okay, what else can we do?
You can still climb to avoid the other half of the ground bats. You can try to climb the wall.
Cece's going to start climbing.
Okay, great.
Because what Cass doesn't realize is she's a cup of water. They're not going to peck at a cup of water. Cece's a human with flesh.
Yeah. She's not just water. She's Alex Mack.
But like, thanks, man.
Is she peckable?
Yeah. I would say she's peckable.
I mean, I'm in a floating mage hand, yeah, so I think I can evade pretty easily.
The mage hand floats too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It floats through the air. Amazing. As long as it's only 30 feet away from you. But if it's carrying you, it's never more than 30 feet away from
you.
That's
true.
So here I go in my mage hand chariot. I'm so pleased.
Cece's climbing up and over.
Amazing. I love it. Okay, yeah, so an athletics check, please. All of these are going to be a DC of 13. Let's see if you can climb onto those rocks. Mm.
12. Oh, no, it's an 11 because I rolled a 12.
Okay. So Cece goes over to that first rock where there are currently no ground bats because they had left to go find the rations. And you put your hand on that first rock and you start to pull up, but it comes out of the side of the tunnel.
Oh, shit.
And hits the floor and some of the ground bats stop. And they, like, look towards you.
Oh, no.
So that's a fail?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Cass sees that happen and is like, God damn it. So she's going to, there are two factions of ground bats, right? One that's at the rations and one that is not at the rations yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the rations ones are still occupied with the rations and the new group is now looking at Cece. Is that the painting the picture?
Yeah, looking towards Cece. Yeah.
Okay. Cass is going to talk to Pluv.
Mm-hmm. Pluv. In my bag are some purple mushrooms.
Oh, shit.
Pull those out for me.
Wow.
And scatter them into the new group of ground bats. Yeah, you got that?
Sister Pluvius looks very concerned.
You know the purple mushrooms are poison.
Yeah, I sure do. It seems as though this is a dangerous group of animals, and it would probably be easier if they were all dead, no?
God damn. You're gonna have to persuade her because she doesn't like the idea of killing the ground bats.
Pluv, why don't you want to kill the ground bats?
She's vegetarian, isn't she?
Yeah, I mean, the sisterhood, you know, in general, like, tries to avoid murder.
Will the ground bats kill us?
Not if we can avoid them.
But if we can't avoid them,
they would try to eat us.
Yeah. So do you think maybe it might be a good idea to murder them all before that happens?
Persuasion check, because you're trying to convince a certain aligned character to do something against their moral code.
And you're not wearing your crown. Pluv's wearing your crown.
Yeah.
13.
I don't think that a 13 is going to convince Sister Pluvius to kill, to actively murder the ground bats.
Well, then Cass is going to tell Pluv to take that crown off because she doesn't deserve to wear it anymore.
I think Cece has an idea. Ooh. That if good sis doesn't want to sprinkle those mushrooms, she's gonna ask Cass if I can just take the mushrooms and sprinkle them.
Sure can. And if you want to wear that crown, you're welcome to it.
Cece snatches the
crown. Snatches the crown!
Could not be more Real Housewifey.
Yeah.
I'll take those, and she takes those mushrooms.
Should we do like a contest to see who gets to maintain control of this crown?
I feel yes, but I think Cece has advantage for height.
Yes. Sure, that makes sense. So you get to roll twice and take the higher.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, so another dexterity contest to see who can grab it first.
Okay, so 14 is my first roll and 5 is my second roll.
Pluvius rolled a natural 1.
Oh. She's so small.
Yeah.
She's just a tiny
You're
babe.
You're gonna murder all the crown bats.
She pathetically jumps after it and like misses the crown completely. It's kind of sad.
Well, all right.
Sorry, sis.
Meanwhile, up in the sky.
Yes. So Christian has taken off into the sky and his powerful wings beat as he lifts Dr. C higher and higher into the air. The wind blows back your hair, Dr. C, and the day is sunny, but you are cool and protected in Christian's shadow. And below you, you can see that the land spreads out in a patchwork of shades of green. You can see the path you've been climbing as it slopes back down the hill through the trees, and in the distance you can see that same far-off village. Even further in the distance, you can just make out what looks like it might be a high stone wall. But before you can get a better look, Christian lets out a grunt and angles downward, flying back towards the path with a dizzying speed. And as your feet touch the ground, he gently lets you go and then lands beside you. And we're going to ask you to roll a perception check.
My baby.
I hate all of you. 18.
Ooh. Mm. Okay, so you see very clearly that there are two...
I'm so sorry, it's a 19. I forgot to add on. Doesn't matter. Anyways, wow. Here we are.
No, it matters.
It matters. You can see that there are what looks like 2 feet sticking out from underneath some shrubs on the side of the path.
Wizard of Oz. It's the Wizard of Oz.
A very wicked witch.
How far away are Kiki and Anya from me?
Anya's pretty far back. Kiki is approaching pretty quickly.
Are they wearing ruby slippers, the feet?
No, they're wearing like leather boots.
But how about those stripy socks?
Sure.
Yeah!
Great. Dr. C first says, Christian, are you okay? Does he nod?
Yeah.
And then Dr. C looks at these boots and then looks at her foot and then looks at those boots and goes like, they maybe are my size.
Damn!
Christian hops over to the shoes.
Okay.
And he starts beaking at parts of the cadaver in an attempt to pull it out from the shrubs.
Oh, he wants to eat it. That's his favorite meal.
And Dr. C says, what are you doing?
He's a vulture.
Oh, you're hungry. Oh, I get it. And so Dr. C will try to take one leg and start pulling too.
Okay, great.
Can you give us a strength check?
Is she also going to eat it?
Yeah, does she have a sudden craving for decaying meat?
We'll see.
Yeah, she's the vulture queen.
Maybe. Guys, that's a natty 20.
Oh, wow.
I'm very strong.
So strong.
Your strength even surprises you as like you barely tug it back and it almost like zooms out into the path in front of you.
Wow. And you can see that what you have pulled out is the corpse of a man in his 30s or so. It's hard to tell. It's a relatively fresh corpse, and you're welcome to investigate it further.
Hold on, a man? We haven't seen a man in a long time.
Kiki's like, describe this man corpse.
Is he hot?
Is he hot? Would you find him on Tinder?
Like, we literally haven't seen a man this entire time.
Which 90s heartthrob does he most resemble?
Sean William Scott. Yeah, he looks eerily like Sean William Scott.
Wow, all right.
And Dr. C, like, oh my God, he almost looks like my patient, Sean William Scott. That's so strange. I rolled with, that's a 12.
Okay, great. So with a 12, you can see that, yeah, he's definitely dead, but he hasn't been dead for long. And his neck is angled in a weird position. So it seems like perhaps his manner of death was that his neck was broken. But it's also clear from the defensive wounds on his hands that he may have been attacked. And there is a symbol carved into one palm.
Posthumously or like while he was still alive? Like, can you tell?
You can't tell with a roll of
that.
Not
with a 12, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What does this symbol look like? The moon?
It looks like a sideways W. Okay,
very Nexium.
Sideways, so like an E? Okay, I'm trying to see what I have.
And your staff, as you look over this body from the Vulture Queen, starts to pulsate a little bit of like a low light.
Oh.
From the green gemstone that's embedded inside it.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay. Interesting. We're getting like a rave moment here.
Stop.
Okay, that's what I see now. That's what's happening. He probably ate mushrooms at the rave and then he died. Wow. Maybe I can take the staff and poke the body with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, great. Do we need a roll for poking?
Yeah, what's your poking proficiency bonus?
Basically, I'm trying to absorb.
Oh, you're going to use your power. Great.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Well, the Vulture Queen has shown you how to do this, so you know how.
Yeah.
So I'm going to absorb a corpse. I absorb the vitality from the corpse of a recently deceased creature at third level. That's me. The wielder rolls a d20 and can, one, allocate the number rolled as temporary hit points to themselves, two, subtract the number from their age, or three, add charges to the staff's withering ray ability.
So it doesn't have to be a corpse you kill. It's just any dead thing.
Mm-hmm. It has to be recently.
That's convenient.
Look, I'm not the one who throws forest raves, okay? And it just seems like a waste to leave someone out here when I could poke them with this staff as I rolled a 9.
Okay, also a self check as well, because Kiki is coming up and I just want to make sure that we're accounting for whether or not Kiki sees this happen.
fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
I don't. What's fair. A okay. What's a good DC for that?
I don't know, like a 12.
Cool.
Well, it's a 3.
Okay. Great. So you put the staff over this corpse, and it's starting to take the vitality away from it, just like when the Vulture Queen did it. And with that 9, you were able to divvy up those points in any way you see fit. Are you getting younger, or are you getting temporary hit points?
God, I can't wait till Dr. Christina looks like she's 4 years old and just like...
Okay, so let's do this. I would like to use that to charge it however many.
Okay, so 3 of your 9 are going to charge the Withering Ray fully to its like 3 charge ability. Mm-hmm.
And how old am I right now?
27.
Great. Let's add the 6 then to my hit points instead.
Great. Cool.
Nice. And just as that's happening, Kiki, you like are surfing up. I don't know. Are you still surfing the horse?
God, I love surfing the horse.
That's right. You were surfing the horse. What song are you singing as you're rolling up?
Come here, rude boy, want me to shake it up. Come here, rude boy, I want to give it up. Whatever the lyrics are. Yeah.
As you come up and you see Dr. Christina standing over this cadaver,
yeah.
The only thing that you saw was kind of this green, smoky aura thing going from the corpse into this staff that she's holding. And she looks really intense and concentrated.
Yeah, so I think Kiki like points to that staff and goes like, hey, Dr. C, what's that?
Dr. C goes, oh my God, I just found this body here. I think they OD'd on like mushrooms or something. Because it was like a rave out here. Like you see the smoke and the pulsing light. That's crazy.
Either a perception check or an investigation check for Kiki to see if you can tell if there's a broken neck.
Yeah. Oh, okay. 17.
Oh, yeah. So you hear the thing about the mushroom and the rave, and you also see you would recognize a broken neck anywhere.
Oh, so I'm like, no, girl, that guy got his neck snapped.
And Dr. C goes, yeah, exactly, because he OD'd and fell and snapped his neck. I'm a doctor here.
Persuasion check
or deception check? I wonder.
Oh yeah, deception check.
It's a 10.
Yeah, I mean, she's clearly lying. It's super sus.
Yeah, so Kiki's like, that's sus. You're clearly lying.
And Dr. C goes, you're right. To be fair, Christian landed down here. He showed me the body. I think he wanted to eat him, so I pulled him out. Then this thing started pulsing, and I figured out it was at a rave. We were at a rave. But Christian found the body. I can't, honestly, as a doctor, I would need to do a full autopsy to figure out how he died, but...
That's something that dermatologists are trained in.
Absolutely. But, you know, I don't have all my, like, all my tools here.
My autopsy tools.
I think with that explanation, Kiki's probably like, okay. And then she just continues on with Brock.
Okay.
Oh, just cruises by. Cool, man.
Kiki, did you want to check his pockets or anything? I know you like to look for things.
And Kiki's like, ugh.
All right, bye.
Kiki just like shivers. She's like, I'm not touching a dead man.
Well, you touch one every night.
Oh, you bitch.
Roll for hurt feelings, because not many things can potentially hurt Kiki's feelings, but that feels like one that could.
That is cruel. That's a 9.
Yeah, it really, that stings, Kiki. Like, you're not going to forget that she said that.
Yeah.
Kiki just like looks back and is like... And then continues on. But she is pissed.
I think by now Anya has also managed to catch up to the group on Butter.
You come up, yeah, you hear the hiss. You're just right there as that's all going down.
I feel like Bryn and I have been having a really good time just like cruising together on the horse and, you know, aww, just like with his little arms around my waist. Or actually probably he's in front of me because that's safer.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm letting Bryn steer.
Your arms around his waist.
Cute. Yeah, and we're holding them. I'm just like, my arms are out just making sure he doesn't tip on either side. Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Dr. C, I see Kiki is hissing at you. What did you do? Oh, my God, there's a dead body. I know. Kosha was really scared of this dead body that I found here because Christian landed here and was like, here's the dead body. And, you know, vultures love to eat dead things. And then the staff just started, like, pulsating, and I realized it's because we're at a rave.
This is so extremely suspect, but I don't simply have time. I think your staff is cool.
Thank you.
I don't have time in my
my busy day to ask you about this potential dead body that I just found you hovering over with a giant staff.
Absolutely. I do not want Bryn's small child eyes seeing this dead body, so we are going to move along.
He is just staring at it.
No, Bryn, Bryn, look at mommy. Look at me.
He can't tear his eyes away.
Look at your mommy, Bryn Bryn.
I understand. I'm just going to like hug him from behind and say like, Bryn, sometimes bad things happen in the world. I want you to know that you are safe and that I love you. And would you like to move along?
He looks regretfully at the body, but kind of is like, yeah.
Okay, I don't request fan art very often, but I would really love someone to draw Bryn looking at this dead body, just being captivated.
Regretfully?
He's obsessed with it. It turns out he's a nasty little freak, Anya.
That runs in our family, so I'm fine with that.
That's your little boy.
Bryn, are you okay? Do we need to stop and talk about this?
No.
Are you
sure.
Oh my God, that look.
Dr. C looks at Bryn and says, curiosity is completely natural.
Ew.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Ooh. Bryn, I am happy to explore. I know when I saw my first dead body, I needed to touch it to make sure that it was actually dead. I had to explore a little. So I want you to have the option.
You explored a dead body. Wait.
Someone's going to need to ask her questions about that.
So is this something that you would like to do? I want you to know that you are safe and that I love you and there is no wrong response.
Yeah, you're safe to explore the dead body.
Kind of looks at it and then he shakes his head and he says,
no, I already know how they feel.
Oh my God, Bryn, this is huge problem for me. What do you mean by that, my boy?
It's all a blur in my mind, but I remember they were all dead.
Dr. C looks at Anya, looks at Bryn, looks at the corpse, looks back at Bryn, and just starts nodding her head and says, Bryn, would you like to take a ride with Auntie Christina up on Christian for a little bit?
Ooh. Or would you like to talk about this issue with Mommy?
You can talk about it with me on Christian.
Ooh. Dr. C, you're being awfully possessive.
Is this a persuasion contest?
Persuasion contest, yeah. To see who gets Bryn?
Wow. Well, because I could see, you know, like for Bryn, maybe these are becoming a little bit like aunties and there's like this little bonding moment, you know.
And he's clearly captivated by corpses, which is a new piece of information we never had before.
Are we doing this? Let's roll. Yeah, and I think Anya gets to roll with advantage because, you know.
That makes sense.
The bond. Yeah.
I'm going to need it.
The ample bosom.
You're going to hate me, and I'm going to take a photo of it. But that's a nat 20, bitch.
And I got a 16 with advantage.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
So Anya can see that Bryn sort of wants to talk about Dr. C about this, I think. And so she goes,
you know what, Bryn? It is totally okay with me. You are always allowed to have secrets from Mommy as long as you are safe. I'm happy for you to go with Dr. C. Dr. C, does Christian have a seatbelt or something? Will you make sure my boy is okay?
And Dr. C goes, of course. I have children.
Why are you talking like this? You are being so spooky scary. And that is coming from me.
Dr. C goes, I don't know what you're talking about. But I wasn't the one who liked to explore death by touching dead bodies.
People grieve in different ways, which is why I am okay.
That's true, Anya. You know what? And I said at the Hag's Hole, I wanted a new start for us. Mm. And you're right. Would you also like to take a ride on Christian?
Bryn, do you want private time with Dr. C? Auntie C, maybe? Or do you want me to come with you?
Bryn thinks about it for a little while. And he says,
Bryn loves Mama Anya, but Bryn wants to fly with Auntie Dr. C.
And that is okay with me. You two have fun. Don't go too far ahead. Know that I love you. And Dr. C, take good care, okay?
Dr. C goes, of course.
Oh, man.
With that, you grab on to Bryn. Or how do you want to hold Bryn in this? In all this?
Why don't you hold on to me like a little backpack?
Cute.
And I will, Christian will pick me up.
Okay, great.
Anya's going to see this and just like take the reins off of Butter and fashion like a little like carrying seat for Bryn that attaches to Christina so that he is very safe.
Love that.
Can I get a dexterity check for the strength of those knots?
So she's now riding Butter without reins?
Yes.
Thank God Kiki is not here to witness this slow drama.
It's an 18.
Oh, great. Bryn will be
and
safe.
And you could probably add your survival to that anyway, so I think that's
yes,
a high
roll. Yes, if I added survival to that, then that would be a 21.
Great. He is so secure.
Okay, I kiss him on the cheek, and that's, I say goodbye.
And I say, Christian, let's go.
And as Christian lifts off with Dr. Christina and Bryn, Anya, you're watching them fly up into the sky. What are you thinking and feeling?
Anya is of two minds. She is so happy that Bryn feels comfortable to tell her his truth, and that he feels safe enough with me that he knows I'm the home base and he can go off and experience the world. However, Dr. C was being hella fucking weird, and I'm a little suspicious of her behavior, but I'm choosing to give her the benefit of the doubt because I also trust Bryn's intuition, and he seemed okay with it. So she sends her heart, figuratively and almost literally, with Bryn, off with Dr. C.
Kiki, you're running off ahead of everybody on Brock. What are you thinking and feeling?
Kiki is, like, looking down at Brock, thinking, this ring on my finger looks kind of like that tarot card that old lady showed us. And then she just sort of, like, spaces out.
Cassandra Kasternak, you are a puddle in a jar, in a hand, in a tunnel. Oh, yeah. What are you thinking and feeling?
Cass is still loving being a puddle. It's giving her everything that she never knew she needed. She is glad to have Cece back, although it seems that Cece still doesn't love her as much as she would like to love her, so she's going to keep working on that. She's disappointed in Pluv, you know? It's like they had such a good thing going, and Pluv was like, please tell me what to do, and Cass was like, great, I will, and then 10 seconds into their relationship, Pluv is like, just kidding, I won't do what you want me to do. So Cass is a little bit like, ugh, did I waste all of my time on the wrong sidekick? But she is thinking that Cece looks pretty great in that crown, and she seems a lot stronger than Pluv, and like she has a lot more sense than Pluv. So maybe this is the second in command she's been waiting for. And she just takes a little spin in her mage's hand, just like a little twirl in midair. Because she's also feeling like she's not really feeling any threat from the penguin bats because she can just sort of float around, but she is trying to like save her friends. So she feels like she's like feeling very adventurous and very capable.
Liz Jenkins, as Cece puts on the crown of reverie for the first time and feels this change in aura, like you have this commanding presence and just something extra special about you now. What is she thinking and feeling?
Cece is thinking that her butt feels higher, her breasts feel perkier, and her edges feel extra laid. And she's ready to fight some roach penguin things. Bat penguin things. Bat penguin roaches in the night.
Great.
With mushrooms.
Yeah, great.
And she gives the jar of water a wet high five.
Yes!
Slosh.
Amazing.
Sister Pluvius Rain, a crown just snatched from your head.
Yeah.
What are you thinking and feeling?
Sister Pluvius is feeling very at sea because she thought that her situation with Cass was going to be a good one. And now she's not sure because her morals are strong. Her desire to serve Cassandra is strong, but she can't give up on the fact that she doesn't believe in just murdering creatures if there's another way to get by. And she's not sure if this partnership is going to be what she thought it was either. And she likes the look of Cece and that Cece wanted to climb along the wall instead of killing the ground bats. So she's wondering if maybe there's someone else that she should be switching her alliance to.
Oh, we're about to throw Pluv to the fucking bats. Get ready for next episode.
Wow.
Dr. Christina, you're soaring into the air, Bryn tightly holding on to you in the back. What are you thinking and feeling?
Dr. C is supercharged up about seeing that corpse and taking that power. you know, she's holding on to little Bryn's hands to make sure he's safe. And she slowly turns her head and says, "Why don't you tell me about everyone who died?"
And with that, this has been another episode of RHO D&D.
We did it.
We saw cadavers. There's a hag in the hole. There is some ground bats.
I hope Bryn took that cat out of his shirt. Just remembering that cat.
The cat's like,
thanks for listening to Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons. Want more RHO D&D? Head to patreon.com/housewivesofdnd for access to our player character sheets, ad-free episodes, merch drops, our Discord mansion, detailed notes and confessionals from our DMs, full-length video versions of our episodes, our bi-weekly behind-the-scenes podcast, live events, bonus content, and more. patreon.com/housewivesofdnd. Follow us across social media at Housewives of D&D and send us your thoughts at housewivesofdnd@gmail.com. Our DMs are Valen Shore and Allison Zada, and our players are Riley Rose Critchlow, Elizabeth Ho, Liz Jenkins, Kosha Patel, and Nicole Weiland. Original music by Valen Shore and sound design by Mika Anami. Real Housewives of Dungeons & Dragons is produced by Reality RPG and is not associated with Bravo or Wizards of the Coast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.